Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch and we have the lovely and talented Kat. That's C-A-T, looking like new money. Kat, what's up?
Happy New Year. We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all your premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Give me a follow. And if you found me on TikTok, we'll TikTok to you. We're going to shout out two towns in the United States. One is North Miami, Florida. North Miami was originally called the town of Arch Creek. Then it was called the town of Miami Shores. And then later in 1931, it was town of North Miami, incorporated in 1953. It also has a large Haitian American population and is one of the most expensive cities in these United States. Our other town is Troy, New York. Troy has been the historical home of Uncle Sam, who is buried in the historic Oakwood Cemetery located in the north outskirts of the city, buried with several other numerous local luminaries. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. Alcohol is never far away from the back porch.
Seems like alcohol is bad.
Seems like every weekend I say to myself, Richard, you need to stop drinking bourbon. And thankfully, I'm not Richard. Today, I'm doing shots of bullet bourbon, and I suggest you do the same. Kat, what you got?
I've still got some Prosecco left over from the new year, and I made me a strawberry French 75 made with my own personal strawberry simple syrup.
Sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, doll.
All right, today we're going to go do-gooder versus ass-kisser. Both of them kind of annoying, but they've definitely got different traits. I don't know if you've ever come across this guy or gal, the do-gooder. Always doing a little extra, doing a little more than needed. You may have a do-gooder in your apartment building or in your neighborhood. At the apartment, he or she, they're always trying to organize something, try to get everybody to sign some petition, to get the parking lot restriped or get new mailboxes. The apartment do-gooder, he's out there, you know, cleaning up around the dumpster, feeding the stray cats in the neighborhood. You know what I'm talking about. In your neighborhood, the do-gooder, again, trying to organize something that no one wants to attend.
A community meeting.
Cutting his grass. Cutting the grass at the vacant lot across the street that's not his. The neighborhood do-gooder, you know, has heard somebody in the neighborhood's ill, lost a loved one. So he's over there taking some food that nobody wants, you know, when everybody else just sits around on their ass, here comes the do-gooder to pick up the slack. They can't help it. It's in their DNA to go above and beyond the call of duty. At work, the do-gooder is a total pain in the ass, doing their job, trying to do other people's jobs, always changing the water cooler bottle, cleaning shit around the office, getting everybody to sign the birthday card, somebody in the office, do-gooder stuff. But don't get the do-gooder and the ass-kisser confused at work. Because the ass-kisser is not going to do stuff for everyone. The ass-kisser, he only is going to do stuff that's going to, you know, put him up front. He's going to put his knee pads on for the boss. And you can tell, or should I say you can smell, when the ass kisser shows up. Because they usually smell like ass. And now if I had to pick, I'd probably take the do-gooder over the ass kisser every time. So the question is, do-gooders do what they do, even though most people think there's something suspect about them being overly nice? I think one reason the do-gooder, who is a pain in the ass, they do it because they're competitive. They want to show everyone that they're better than you. Another reason the do-gooder keeps being a do-gooder is they feel the need to be liked. They think, you know, if I do good deeds, everyone will like me.
Well, I mean, is it that, or do they have OCD? I mean, sometimes people just feel the natural need, or there's something lacking there, and they have some follow through, and they are just trying to make their whole world better.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people just don't trust someone who's genuinely nice and, you know, seems to put their concerns over others.
Think there's an ulterior motive.
You know, of course, these days, you really don't see it too much. The term for genuinely nice people who put the concerns of others over theirs is altruism.
Yes.
Now, I must say, and I think Kat would agree, that I have a touch of altruism.
Yes, you do. You see problems and you try and solve them, whether anybody's asked you to do that or not.
I mean, I've actually got a touch of a couple diseases.
OCD. But OCD being one of them.
I don't know where they come from, but the altruism, I think I got that. It's just, you know, like Kat just said it. If I see something that needs to be done, I just do it, whether it's my place or not. Anyway, so I'm going to take up for the do-gooders in the world. Keep doing what you're doing, even if it pisses everybody off. Let's roll right into One Tough Son of a Bitch. Thomas Eakins, born in 1844 from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thomas Eakins was called a realist,
right,
painter, a photographer, sculptor, fine arts educator, probably one of the most important American artists ever. Would you agree, Kat?
I would agree. His dad was a weaver. And that's kind of where he got his artistic.
And you're out there going, who is Thomas Eakins? It's E-A-K-I-N-S. Check this dude out. Some of this guy's work on the World Wide Web, it's kind of insane. His paintings are so realistic. They look like photographs, don't
right,
they? I mean, it's wild. And for some crazy reason, Thomas Eakins was not seen as a great artist during his lifetime. After his death, he's kind of been celebrated as like one of the greatest ever.
Right. I mean, he like took photographs basically and then went and painted or drew what he saw in the photograph. He did some photography also, but he's more known for his drawing. And he was interested at his young age in mechanical drawing. Interested in science and medicine, painting, anatomy, science, physics, sports. He was very good at sports. He was rowing, ice skating, swimming, wrestling, sailing, gymnastics. He was an athletic guy, and he also, for his work, he kind of showed you what real life looked like. But maybe it was after, you know, you got to remember the impressions just were before that. It was like a dreamy kind of look, right. And he was going the opposite direction.
And here we go. Another one tough son of a bitch on this podcast that didn't just centralize on one thing. He was great at tons of things.
Oh, right. Very diverse, you know. He took photographs of like paintings, creating, you know, things people couldn't see in like the 1880s, like cowboys and ranch life. You know, for somebody on the East Coast, that's like a going to a different land.
One of his paintings sold for $68 million in 2006. Think about it. While he was doing this, creating, while he was on the planet, nobody gave a whiff. And now look what these things are worth through history. So many talented people, artists, writers, musicians, just not recognized for their talent while they were on this planet. Then after they die, somebody wakes up and goes, damn, they were a genius. I think that's probably what's going to happen to this podcast.
Oh, we're going to be discovered
after I'm
later.
Gone, everyone's going to go, damn, he was right. Kat was right. Thomas Eakins.
All those downloads in Singapore got to be for something.
produced 308 artworks, considered America's greatest realist painter. Eakins is credited with having introduced the camera to the American art studio.
And he's really not that, I mean, for the art history part of art, he's really not that well known, honestly.
I never heard of him.
No.
Usually, like,
when you're a photographer, you're a photographer. You just don't really go back to the other side of the studio.
I mean, but
start painting.
You think about it.
He had two disciplines he was very good at.
I remember a guy, a friend of mine, years, 100 years ago, who was trying to paint, learn to paint, and he would have a photograph
right
there. And I mean, that's like a natural thing to do.
I remember there was in high school when they had a drawing thing where half of it was a photograph, and I think it might have been Woody Allen, and the other half I had to draw to try and make it look like the Woody Allen picture that was on the other half. That was like an exercise we did, and I did a pretty good job with it because I don't know, I had a photographic mind, so I kind of knew where everything had to go.
Again, go on the www and check out Thomas Eakins' work. I mean, when you look at it and go, these are paintings, it's going to blow your mind. And that makes Thomas Eakins one tough son of a bitch. Are we still watching stuff?
We're still watching. And this is one I watched ages ago, and I just kind of put it, well, I really need to put this on, talk about this on the podcast. And then all of a sudden, like, the Golden Globes and everything are coming out, and everybody, that's a really good comedy. Nobody's really talking, like, I'm going to talk about it now.
What is it?
It is called Nobody Wants This. It's a romantic comedy that was on Netflix. Still is, of course, you can watch it. That was created by Erin Foster, David Foster's daughter, starring Kristen Bell and Adam Brody. It's about an unlikely relationship between an outspoken agnostic woman and a conventional rabbi. And it's very funny. It's very up to date. I mean, Kristen Bell's character is an irascible agnostic woman who co-hosts a podcast who talks about relationships and sex with her sister. So, you know, as it's going, he has dumped a girl that everything on paper would have been the perfect wife for him, but he just couldn't see himself, you know, pigeonholed into that relationship. And she, on the other hand, part of her podcast is talking about how her unsuccessful relationships are and how hard it is in the dating world. And of course, while she's dating him, everything's all hunky-dory. And of course, her podcasting partner, the sister's going, hey, are you going to talk more about this relationship? And she's like, kind of like, oh, I really don't want to screw this up because I actually like this guy. And it is really, really funny. It's kind of giving a bird's eye view of like relationships and dating there in LA. And it's very, very good. It's one of those, you start watching it and you've got to binge it because it's so freaking good. I mean, that's maybe one of the reasons why it took me a while to get back on here and talk about it, because I watched it so fast because I binged it. But it is really funny, and it's very, the humor is very up to date and, you know, 2024 humor. And I'm not the only one that thinks this. Rotten Tomatoes has a 94% approval rating. Average based on 48 critics, is a 7.8 out of 10. It's very well written. It's, I don't know. And it's very, very, you know, watch yourself. It's very, very binge worthy. You cannot stop watching because it's very funny and lighthearted. And it seems very, the writing seems very today.
When did it come out?
It came back out in September. That's back when I watched it. And I was like, man, I really should have talked about that when it came out. Well, I'm talking about it today. Anyway, if you need a comedy, and God knows, the start of this year, we all need a comedy. Nobody Wants This is highly recommended. It's a great watch. It's on Netflix. Okay, we have a shot of the week. And there's certain foods and stuff that I really like. And this is based on one of those foods. This is the peanut butter cookie shot. It's an ounce of peanut butter whiskey, screwball, a half an ounce of vanilla vodka, and a pinch of salt, sea salt in it.
All right, cheers. Happy New Year's,
baby. Happy New Year, baby.
Woo! Ugh. It tastes like liquid peanut butter.
Yeah. I'm not really getting vanilla vodka as I thought I would. Would be the cookie-ish part of it.
I mean, it's a cookie dough shot?
It's a peanut butter cookie shot.
Okay. All right. Well,
are you getting that from that?
It is. That's what it tastes like. I just don't like the taste.
See,
peanut butter bourbon, isn't that whiskey, whatever that screwball stuff is. I know people like it and do stuff with it.
Right. I saw one today was a White Russian made with it.
As a bourbon drinker, screwball is just, don't ruin it. All right, how do you make that thing again?
This is an ounce of peanut butter whiskey, a half an ounce of vanilla vodka, a pinch of salt. If you want to go really pro with this, you put a little smear of the peanut butter and some brown sugar on the side of the glass.
Okay. You might like it. I don't.
You don't.
All right, today we were bumpered in with a man called Danny Gatton. Gatton, born in 1945 from Washington, D.C.
Yep, he is a DMV guy. And that, if all of you who are not Commanders fans, that is D.C., Virginia, and Maryland. DMV.
DVM?
DV, no.
Okay.
Division of Motor Vehicles, DMV.
All right, you said it wrong.
Dyslexia is a cruel bitch. It really is.
Danny Gatton, master of the Telecaster. I say this, he was, because he took his own life in 1994 on a farm in Newburgh, Maryland. It seems Danny Gatton struggled with depression for many years. But on the upside, we have his music to enjoy whenever we want. Dude could play any style of music he wanted. Rockabilly,
or as it
blues.
Was called, redneck jazz.
That's what he called it. He could do anything. And you know, it's weird. He was left-handed in life, doing everything, but he played guitar right-handed. Played locally around D.C. for years, was a session musician in Nashville. In 1991, released 88 Elmira Street. Has a song on it. That we were bumpered in with today called Elmira Street Boogie. That was nominated for a Grammy. And go on YouTube and check out Danny Gatton playing live. If you've ever tried to play guitar, this dude will blow your mind. Not only was Danny Gatton one of the best guitarists on the planet, he also looked cool doing it. He had it like a style. Fender, in tribute to Danny Gatton, created the Danny Gatton signature Telecaster. Rolling Stone has him in the top 100 greatest guitar players of all time. Buckethead, Joe Bonamassa, Albert Lee, Les Paul, Vince Gill, Ricky Skaggs, Slash, all are big fans of Danny Gatton. Check out Danny Gatton wherever you get your music. I want to thank everyone for hanging out on the back porch. And we'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.